Just a couple minutes. I'm just gonna review a bit here. Not very much here because I'm watching the time tonight, so you will not have to. Had a lot of preliminaries tonight, had a lot of things to say and a lot of announcements. But of course, last week, of course, we've been talking about raising the simple ones, if you will, making wise the simple, if you will, and we've talked about many different areas. Last week, just to kind of review a little bit, we talked about that little statement that we find in 1 Timothy 5:22, keeping thyself pure. Of course, that word keep means to guard. Pure, clean, pure equals clean, innocent, modest, perfect, sacred, or blameless. And we talked, of course, to the simple ones of the importance of keeping yourself clean and pure, teenager and young person. A few weeks ago, I brought out a wedding book. I picked it up at youth conference, and several years ago, a few years ago, if you will, they preached on purity. And I had several of my teenagers, all the youth leaders, got one of these books. I had several of my teenagers, most all the group that I had, they signed their name in that book, meaning that they would keep themselves pure till marriage. And we kind of reiterated that a little bit. And of course, television fuels immorality. We ought to be very careful what our young people are watching. But not only that, I also talked to us prudent ones as well. We need to be careful what we are watching as well, prudent. We need to be very careful what we see and what we watch, what we are reading. We need to be good examples, if you will, to the simple ones. We need to keep ourselves pure in that we are not philandering around. Prudent ones, we need to be careful what we watch on TV. Hey, if you have a little secret affair on the internet, you know what? You may think, prudent one, okay, or so-called prudent one, you may think that you're hiding it on your wife or your husband, but the truth of the matter is God sees it. And we need to be very, very careful of that. We need to lead by example. We ought to be blameless. Okay, that means no blame. Okay, and the truth of the matter is, kids or teenagers, they can see right through it. Okay, they really can. In the long run, you can be a Sunday school teacher. One can be a Sunday school. One can even be a pastor. One can have a position of leadership in the church. But the truth of the matter is, you play around with sin long enough, and you may think it just starts with a little thing, just a little sin. Okay, just a little sin, and you think, well, I've got it under control. No, you don't. That thing will fester and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it takes you down. And so, prudent ones, I'm talking to us teachers and preachers and so forth, you know what? We need to be very careful as well. We need to be good example. We need to just get back to being loyal to one another in our marriages. Amen. Husbands love your wives, and even wives, you love your husbands. Amen. And we ought not be refraining from our husband or our wife, if you will. The Bible says, defraud not one another. We ought to be loving one another. And it'd be good for the simple ones. I'm talking about your teenager in your household, your kids in your house. And it'd be good for the young ones to see some affection in the home instead of yelling and screaming. You know, it's good for the young ones, if you will, to see mama and daddy holding a hand. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with them seeing a mom and daddy, maybe sitting on the couch, and they give each other a peck on the lips. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, you know what? And some of you already say, well, say, preacher, no, you they shouldn't see that. Yeah, well, you show it to them on the TV box. Yeah. Amen. So you know what? They may as well just see the reality of it through a loving mama and a loving daddy, we just need to, hey, I could park here, and I'm not going to park here tonight, but you know what? We just need a revival of good godly marriages again. Amen. We just need to get right back to loving one another again. Divorce rate is well over 50% now. It ought not be. It ought not be, and of course, Hollywood downplays marriage now. Hollywood makes the man, if you will, of the house look like a buffoon and different things and so forth. You ought to be very careful, okay, what you're allowing your kids to watch. You ought to be careful what we as the mom or daddy are watching on TV as well. Amen. Okay, we'll go ahead and move forward. I don't, let me see, where are my notes? Uh-oh, hold on. I got a lot of notes here. Everything's okay. Some of you, this is good. Okay, you thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was too. Whoa, I tell you what, that was scaring me just a little bit. All right, we are all set, okay? And just to review a little bit, been taking several weeks on this as well. Five different groups of people in Proverbs. Hey, you know what? While I'm thinking about someone name one of the groups. Someone, huh? Okay, hold on. Five simple, okay, for weeks now, I've been going over this, all right? Five different groups of people in Proverbs, and we've been kind of hitting them. What's one of the groups, Mrs. Weeks? The simple, that's been our central character, yes. The prudent one, okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? You didn't think you were coming for school tonight, but amen. It's okay. I just want to see if anybody's listening. Anybody else? Huh? The scorner, okay. Anybody else? Okay. The wise one, and of course, the foolish, okay. The definitions of a simple one can be likened to a blank sheet of paper. And whoever gets to him or her first gets to draw the picture. The scorner, which is our topic tonight, gets to him first. He gets to do the drawing. And if the prudent gets to him first, he gets to do the drawing, if you will. This is why I believe in the Bible-believing local Baptist church and the home ought to be working together. I believe that church ought to have as much activity as possible. Okay? Parents, you decide right now you ought to have your kids in church. You ought to be in church with your kids. I believe that the church and the home ought to work hand in hand. Adult fellowships, I can't stress enough how much, you know, we have a tendency to want to wander out in the world and get our friendships and fellowships, when the truth of the matter is, it's right here in church, okay? I mean, you have a men's fellowship on during the month, you ought to be there, men. If you have a ladies' fellowship during the month, you ought to be there, you know? But we'll have a tendency to go outside in the world and find our fellowship. You know, I believe that we ought to get our kids and get our children and our adults, and even we adults, we need to be under the proper environment, which is a local church. A prudent needs to be godly examples, okay? In our marriage, we talked about that, depicting happiness, love for one another. The simple need to see mom and dads love each other. Prudent need to be faithful to God's service. The simple need to see you serving God, and they might just get excited if you get excited about it. You know what? After a little while of teaching and doing it for 10 years, you know, you feel like you can do it with your eyes closed. You get a little bit relaxed. The truth of the matter is, you ought to have the same excitement teaching your class today as you did 10 years ago. You know, it's no wonder why teachers don't go ahead and stay. It's no wonder why even church members don't go ahead and stay, because they come with no excitement. You know, you ought to come with an excitement. You know what, God? I'm going to church Sunday morning. You give me something Sunday morning. You know what? And if you, mama and daddy, you get excited, you know, it might be that your son or daughter will get excited about church as well. If you get excited, teacher, it might be that your pupils, you know, you say, well, I don't think my pupils are getting it. You know what? Let me ask you a question. Are you going in excited in your class? You go in, well, open up your Bible. We're going to talk about Noah today. Noah built an ark. It's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. You know, you kind of do that. You know what? When you have little 4 and 5 year, I've got to use this here. I'm starting to get a little bit, okay. Testing 1, 2. Okay, you can hear me, okay? All right, amen. But you know what? If you have a little 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old class, you know what? You know what? Getting up, okay? Let me just give you a little bit of a lesson here, and I want to just help you if I can, okay? But you know what? Getting up and say, well, you know, Noah built an ark. You know, expression. You know, it's no wonder that why they doze off. You know, you're there and, you know, I mean, kind of act it out. You know what? Noah built an ark and you can maybe pretend he's building an ark and you kind of got to be a little bit animated, amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We as Sunday school teachers, we as the prudent ones, you know, if we show a little bit of excitement in going to church, if we show a little bit of excitement about our Sunday school class or what God has given us to do, it might be that the pupil, it might be that son or daughter that you have might get excited as well. Prudent is a form of cheerleader, I think. You know, telling the simple, hey, walk this way, come this way, follow me, you know. We want to be very careful, okay? That simple one, if we don't go ahead and grab a hold of these simple ones when they're young and grab them and all the leadership, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. If everybody, listen to me, if everybody goes ahead and surrounds him or her and is on the same page with him or her and they see loyalty, if you will, I'm talking about loyalty, I'm talking about loyalty from the teacher to the preacher, to the preacher, to the teacher, not have any criticism about one another. It might be that as you go ahead and see them grow and them prudent ones are faithful and they get excited about what they're doing in church, these kids, when they come to that fork in the road, okay, they might get excited and they may not go ahead and look and say, well, I want to go the scorner's direction. I want to go this way. You know what? They won't go this way and head to foolishness if we would just get excited about God. Amen. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to be prudent. We need to be faithful and we need to be leading them to wisdom. That's all review here. And then I'm going to get right down to it, to the scorner tonight. Going to talk about the scorner here this evening. And I'm going to go a little bit different direction. You know, I don't have a lot of notes here. If I hear few amens. We might get done a little bit early, but I don't know about that, but don't hold your breath, all right? If you hold your breath, it might be might be calling the ambulance here. All right, the scorner, the definition. I have a definition of the scorner. He is generally one who knows the truth but has denied it or ignores it. He may even have been involved and was obedient at one time. He could have even been a church member. He may even be a church member, if you will. That's the definition of a scorner to me. Oftentimes, a scorner is one who has gotten hurt. Therefore, he has ignored the truth. So he is on the trail of hurting others and trying to rob others of joy. That's what a scorner does. A scorner is one that when authority speaks, hey, they don't go ahead and listen. A scorner is one that will just go ahead and perhaps they may come to church, but they don't pay attention. They don't care about the preacher. They may go to Sunday school class, but they don't pay attention. And it's no wonder, listen to me, and it's no wonder why they end up in the land, if you will, of foolishness. It's no wonder why they get discouraged. You know what? The scorner, and there are some in the church. Oh, sure there are. There are some in the church. The scorner is someone that doesn't have a good smile. There's no joy. There's no springing. Hey, you know, let me just say this tonight. You know, as a born-again Christian, as one that knows for sure I'm on my way to heaven, you know, I have some spring in my step tonight. You say, well, preacher, you just went on vacation. But let me tell you something. I was just as excited now as I was just a few days ago. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Some of them scornful looks, you know, you're there and say, well, you try to move me, preacher. Hey, you know, it's not my job to try to move you. It's the Holy Spirit. And then you want to go ahead and you want to quench the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says. You want to quench, and you wonder why there's no revival in your life. You wonder why there's no joy in your marriage. You wonder why things aren't happening in your life. It could be that you're just throwing water upon the Holy Spirit of God tonight. But the scorner is someone who probably was involved at one time. A scorner could be a saved person, but they somewhere along the way they got disgruntled. A scorner is someone that maybe got hurt, and I'm sorry if they ever got hurt, but maybe got hurt. Therefore, he or she ignores the truth, and now he's on the trail to try to hurt others and to try to pull them away from the joy of the will of God. Therefore, he is one who leads a simple one to foolishness. You know, I'd hate to have that on my hands when I face God one day. I'd hate to be one of these kind of guys or gals that, you know, just come to church and, you know, nothing good happens at church. You know, and have this kind of attitude that this and this and this. And I'd hate to be the kind of person that criticizes everything the preacher does. I need to be this kind of person that criticizes the Sunday school teacher or God's authority. I need to be this kind of person that criticizes my wife or criticizes my husband or whatever. You know what? And by the way, when I see that, I try to, whoa, I don't want that spreading onto me, man. Amen. You know, I know I have to help critical people and I have to help scorners, and that's my job, and I'll go ahead and do that. But let me tell you something. Your spirit is not going to go ahead and go my way, that's for sure. I'm not going to grab a hold of that. But boy, it'd be sad. It'd be sad if we're scorning here tonight, you know, and we just got kind of a bad attitude. I don't want to be here and this and that, whatever. It'd be sad that when we face the judgment seat of Christ one day, we will. Some little boy and girl that you had a chance to influence that was watching you and your attitude. Maybe they never had a chance to get saved simply because of your attitude. Maybe they never had a chance to go ahead and thrive and become what God wanted them to be because of your attitude. Maybe they wind up going to hell because they never got saved or they never had the blessings of God. You know, it'd be sad to go ahead and see that child one day because of an attitude of being a scorner, you know, having that indifferent look, you know, grumpy. You know, people go ahead and say, hi, hoy. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know how often I've talked to people, you know, I talked to someone the other day, you know, wasn't here, it was in Maine, you know, whatever. You know, hey, how you doing? Well, you're so excited because I got Jesus, amen. You know, but the truth of the matter is, you know what, it'd be sad to face the judgment seat and some little child that you saw in church that you had a chance to influence, maybe they died and went to hell simply because of your attitude. You know, that's something to think about. But anyways, a scorner. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the king of scorners. And I'm going a little bit different direction here tonight, but we are talking about scorners. And, of course, the king of scorners is none other than the devil himself. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to read a few verses here. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Oh, right there is the dangerous words right there. Yea, hath God said. This is the serpent. none other than the devil. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here we have the king of scorners, the devil himself, you know, coming in a form of a serpent. That's what I don't like snakes. Did I ever tell you that? I hate snakes. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the other creepy crawly things, that's fine. But I don't like snakes. I had a teenager on my bus route that had a boa constrictor. Okay. Up in Maine. He says, oh, come on, Brother Sean. That's what my bus kids call me. Brother Sean, let me show you my snake. I don't want to say it, man. You know, one Saturday morning on purpose, you know, I went ahead and he had me. I went ahead and I knocked on the door and I was looking for him. One Saturday morning, he had that thing and he thought, you know, this is going to be a great, great scare. You know, I went ahead and he says, come in. I opened the door and there was that boa constrictor right there in the face. Ah, you know, he had it right there in my face. And I go, you know, anyways, but the truth, I hate snakes. Anyways, I just had to say that. But here was the king of scorners, the devil himself, in a form of a serpent, tempting Eve. He doubts the very words of God. Yea, hath God said? You don't really believe that, do you, Eve? You know, God really doesn't know what he's talking about. Let me tell you something. I thank God that we do have a God that knows what he's talking about. Amen? But God really doesn't know what he's talking about. Yea, hath God said? I mean, you know, you better be careful of them doubters. You better be careful of them ones that want to doubt the words of God. Amen? You better be careful of those that want to go ahead and take the King James Bible and say, well, it's too hard for me to understand. Hey, you know what? Did that ever occur to you when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit? Did it ever also occur to you that the Holy Spirit teaches you this book right here? You know, and if you can't go ahead and figure what yea hath God said meant, maybe you better check your relationship with the Holy Spirit, amen? But the truth of the matter is, he doubts the very words of God. He goes on to say in verse number 5, oh, God doesn't mean this, for God doth know, Eve, okay? For God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What is he doing? He is in the process. You know, he says, well, God wants to deprive you. Hey, Eve, look at that tree. Go ahead, look, boy, that's really, really nice, and the fruit, and he goes ahead and allures and makes it look so alluring, if you will, and he says, you know what, in essence, he says, you know what, God is depriving you there, Eve. You know, let me just say this, I've not been deprived of anything. You know, I've been saved tonight, you know, I have all that I need. You know, I thank God for that, and God's not depriving me of anything. People say, well, you're saved. You know, I had people when I was in Bible college, I'd go ahead and say, when I worked in Chicago, I remember putting in my notice. And I worked a good job in Chicago and so forth to help make ends meet. I had a family and so forth. And I put my notice in, and my boss and I, we had a very good relationship. He was one of the big guys. I worked at downtown Chicago at these big fancy apartments. Went in, and I called him. His name was Sergio, but he allowed me to call him Serge. I said, hey, Serge, how you doing? Good to see you. You know what? Here's my notice. I've got 2 weeks left. He says, Sean, let me ask you a question. He says, what kind of money are you going to make in the ministry? He says, you know, I never thought about it. I never thought about it. I mean, he says, are you sure that you really want to, you know, he would say, man, you're a good worker here. And listen, he was throwing some benefits my way. He was trying to, I mean, he wanted to give me more money. He says, listen, if you'd stay, you know, I'll go ahead and raise you up. He was going to give me a $4 raise. I was already making like 14. He's going to just give me, I'll give you a $4 raise and this benefit and different things. And he was trying to go ahead and make everything look really enticing. Good guy. He says, but what kind of money are you going to make by going in the ministry? I said, I never thought about it. But I said one thing. I said, you know, Sergio, I said, I'm not deprived of anything. I said, God hasn't gone ahead and made me feel like I have nothing. You know what? God has supplied my needs. You know, I've gone through 3 years of college here. And you know what? Every single bill was paid. God went ahead and took care of our needs. My family didn't starve. Hey, you know what? Being a Christian's fun. You know what? I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, you know, being a Christian, you know what? You've got to be really deprived. You know, you can't have any fun. You know, I'm having the most fun of my life. I'm having a blast being a Christian. Amen. I'm having a blast preaching. I'm having a blast working with people. I'm having a blast. Even if I wasn't preaching, you know, I'm having a blast being a Christian. You know what? Even when I was sitting in the pew, I was having a blast. I got to go ahead and glean the things of the word. You know what? I'm having a good time. And here's the old devil. He said, Eve, come on now. You know what? God's depriving you. Hey, look at how good that tree is. Go ahead and go take a look at it. Get a little bit closer. Get a little bit closer. Of course, we know the result of this very incident. Life would never be the same for Adam and Eve. They were cast out of the garden. The Bible says in verse number 18 of this, thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee. You know, that's when they really, you know what, they had it good in the garden, but that's when they really felt hurt. That's when they really felt pain. They had thorns and thistles that they had to deal with. They never saw that before. Hey, let me just give you a warning tonight. Be careful of the scorner. The scorner is one that does the very works of the devil. The scorner is one that will draw you away from church. The scorner is one that will draw you away from the Word of God. And I'm talking about the Word of God, the King James Bible. The scorner is one that will draw you away from the principles of the Word of God. The scorner will get you thinking twice about the will of God. You don't want to get saved. And by the way, God's not willing that any should perish. You know what? It's God's will for this whole world to get saved. Amen. You know what? And let me ask you, how are we doing? Amen. How are we doing? What are we doing to try to win this world to Christ? But the truth of the matter is, it is the will of God. You know what? The scorner will say, you don't want to get saved. You know, you don't want to go down that road. It's no fun being a Christian. The scorner will go ahead and say, have you think twice about the will of God. You don't want to get saved. You don't want to go to church. Why would you want to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Because I want to. Why do you want to go ahead? Because the Bible says that I need to grow, and I need to go ahead and become grow stronger. And when the old devil goes ahead, people like scorners come your way. You know, it's no wonder why people drop like flies. You know why? Simply because there's some scorner that's got their ear and says, you don't want to go ahead and go to this church. Oh, you don't want to go to that church. Oh, you know, this church over here offers the NIV and all the band and all the rock music and stuff like this. Hey, you know what? Hey, let me tell you something. Them are the ones that aren't very happy tonight. They're the ones that don't have that worshipful spirit, if you will. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you better be careful with the scorner. Because you don't want to go to church. You don't want, the scorner will tell a young person, you don't want to be a preacher. How many young people, I know they were sincere when they came to an altar and they cried and they gave it all to God and said, you know, I was called to be a preacher at 13, 14, 15 years old. And today they're not even close to it. You know what happened through that time to the time that they are 18, 19 years old today? You know what happened? Some scorner got their ear. You don't want to be a preacher. You don't want to live pure. If it feels good, do it. It's a lie out of hell, amen? If it feels good, do it. You don't want to live pure, teenager. That's no fun. Hey, you know what? The scorner will go ahead and cause you to think twice about the will of God. The scorner will go ahead and cause, you know, how many people? I have seen people. Let me tell you something. I've had people, and a lot of you soul winners probably had this experience. You went through the whole plan of salvation. You could see the conviction on the face. And then you could see even the tears on the face. And then little Johnny or Susie or somebody comes out. You know, it's like the old devil's allows somebody to come out. And you know what? Disrupts a whole plan of salvation. You know how many people, I wonder, die and go to hell because of that situation. You know, the Bible or the scorner will cause you to think twice about the Word of God. No wonder why there are so many versions or perversions of the Bible tonight. The devil cannot stand truth, by the way. He cannot stand it. He can't stand the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, he wants to try to destroy the words of God, just like he did here with Eve. It all started in the garden. There's nothing new under the sun. It all started right back here. That, yay, hath God said. He started doubting the words of God, and Eve heard that. He started twisting the words of God around, and you could see the scorner. I'm talking about the master scorner, the old smutty faced devil, the devil himself, in action here in the garden, doubting God's word, therefore causing Eve to doubt it as well. Yay, hath God said. Doubting the words of God. We have... You know, the Bible teaches that we have to have an every word Bible. We'll use a few. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. You know, I'd encourage you, you have your Bible tonight. I'd look at some of these verses. Matthew chapter 4. Of course, Jesus up on the mount. Of course, we know the story, and I'm not going to elaborate because of time, but the truth is right here, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know what? We have to have an every word Bible. Why? Because God says so right here. God says that we have to have an every word Bible. Notice the very word, the words, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man cannot live by bread alone. Bread feeds us and gives us physical nourishments and strength. Just as we need food for physical, we need spiritual food as well. And it's found right here in the preserved word of God. And it can only satisfy us. We need to be spiritually fed, just like we need to go ahead and eat our bread and eat our ice cream and eat our cheesecake. And I'm getting hungry, so I better stop right there. You can tell I've had a few extras there anyways, but that's all right. Anyways, moving right along. But we need our spiritual food as well. We can only be spiritually fed by every word of God. And by the way, if God didn't say that we needed every word of God, he wouldn't have put it in the word of God. He said, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, take a look at just lightly. I don't have a whole lot of time to elaborate tonight, but just look at what the scorner, the devil, is trying to do with the words of God. The Bible says that we need the spiritual food, which is the King James Bible. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, very familiar verse. I got it written down. If you want it, you ought to jot these down. But the Bible says all scripture, not some scripture, not few scriptures, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, that is God-breathed. God said, you know what? God breathed into the man the very words of God. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. You know, we do have to accept some things by faith. But you know what? I have faith, and I know that I'm preaching the very words of God tonight. You know what? All scripture, because God says so right here. And I'm not going to begin to doubt my God. I'm sick and tired of these so-called independent Baptists that once stood for something, but now they don't stand for anything. You know, bless God, let me just stop and say this. I've said it time and time again, but we're always going to lift up the old King James Bible. We're going to lift up the standards of God, and we're not going to go ahead and waver one bit. We need spiritual food, and this is where I get it every single day. Those so-called independent Baptists who have no conviction about the Word of God, the preserved King James Bible, at one time they had the strength, at one time they had the conviction, but somewhere along the way they lost their grit. And let me tell you something, this preacher's not going to lose his grit. We need soldiers who will, as what Ephesians says, having done all to stand and not waver. You start compromising on this book right here, you're going to start compromising other areas as well. Amen. You start getting wishy-washy, you know, it doesn't really matter what Bible and so forth, you know, and you start letting the scorners, and let me tell you something, they're out there. You know, the devil obviously, but you know, the devil uses other people to go ahead, you know, that's a little bit too narrow-minded. I'll be narrow-minded, thank you very much. Amen. But you know what, you better be very, very careful. We need an every word Bible. God says so. God breathed the very words of this book through men of old, if you will. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. You know, it's time for you to go ahead and get off of your little hobby horse of which Bible of the month club and decide I'm going to be with the Bible of the month club. And that's every single month I'm going to just read the King James Bible. It's time to get off this hobby horse of the NIV, the ASV, the HIV, and all other ASVs, whatever the case may be. What I'm trying to say, we have an all scripture book. We have the very words of God right here. Some don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe that we have the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, hey, our scripture, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If I want to outline this tonight, and I'm not going to go ahead and do it for time's sake, given by inspiration, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. We don't like to be reproved. That's why we go ahead and start changing our versions around a little bit. There's no power. You know, the Reverend Billy Graham. I'm not a fan of his, but you know, I will say I'm a fan of this statement. He has gone around endorsing all these other perversions of the Bible and so forth. And not, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, right at a crusade meeting, he was up preaching, and he went ahead and he started using another version of the Bible. He's had to stop right at the beginning of his sermon. I heard this. I wish I had the tape. And he I think it was his son or whatever that was sitting behind him. He says, you know what?
go get me the King James Bible. This has no power. I wish I had that tape tonight, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? Even those who supposedly believe in the other versions, they've endorsed the other. Okay, let's talk about our friend Jerry Falwell. I heard this too. I know this for a fact. I came home from Bible college one night, or to church one night when I was in Bible college, and he used to be on. I was just listening to him. He gets up, and he is, to my knowledge, every time I ever heard him preach, of course, in his early years, he was right down the line and so forth. His latter years, of course, he changed as far as a lot of different things. But you know what? He went ahead, and I remember him opening up his scriptures, and he was preaching out of 1 John that particular night, and whatever. And he says, you know, 1 John, whatever the case, whatever the scripture was. And he says, those of you, now he said in the King James Bible, those of you with lesser versions, just follow along the best you can. You know, even those who have gone ahead and endorsed these other versions, they know where the power came from. Amen. But we ought to get off our little hobby horse. You know what? The Word of God does reprove. It means rebuke. No, we don't always like to be convicted, but we need it. It convicts us of our wrongdoing. You know, sometimes we need correction, the Bible says. It corrects us. It teaches us how to live. And God knows I need correction. I'm not ashamed, even as your preacher, to come to the altar and even have to pray at invitation, because I need correction as well. As a Christian, we ought to desire to be under the Word of God, where it causes us to be what God wants us to be. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to be what God wants me to be. I remember driving down the Dan Ryan. This is a typical message, Wednesday night message. I'll never get it all done. Nobody has anything else to do tonight, right? No, I'm kidding. Driving down the Dan Ryan, my good friend Jerry Hadley was with me. And with all sincerity, we were just talking. This guy, Jerry Hadley, was just one of the most lovable Christian men I've ever met. Just had a good singing voice and so forth. A couple years ago, he died of liver cancer. Good friend of mine. But I remember going down the Dan Ryan. It was like my last semester of college. He used to work with me. And I remember I was driving. You got to be careful going down the Dan Ryan, then tears well up. Just a little bit crazy there. Dan Ryan's this major highway that takes you right down the center of Chicago, and you know, you got people flying by. You know what I'm talking about, brother. You know, people flying all over, you know, different things. But I remember tears welling up. We were talking, we were singing together and different things. I remember tears just welling up. I said, Jerry, I said, you know what? All I want to do and all I want to be is what God wants me to be. Nothing more. I said, Jerry, just the fact that God has called me to be a preacher, I am so humbled. I mean, you know, I was saying even then, and I look at it even now, I'm not the greatest preacher, I'm not the greatest much of anything, but all I want to do, all I want to be is what God wants me to be. You know, and the truth of the matter is that still rings in my head today. You know, as a Christian, we ought to desire to be what God wants us to be. I'm talking about doctrinally. I'm talking about this book right here. You know, we're not changing this thing. I'm sick and tired of seeing churches dropping like flies. That once stood for the old King James Bible, that once stood for godly standards, and once stood for the old godly hymns of the faith. I'm sick and tired of it, but let me tell you something. As long as I'm your pastor, we ain't a-changing. We ought to desire to absorb the truth of the Word of God. You know, we ought not quench the Spirit. The Spirit works through His words. And if God is dealing with your heart, you ought to do something about it. You know what? You know, there's some of you probably haven't made a decision at the altar in a long time. You know, and somewhere along the way, maybe in a message like this, or somewhere, you know, you feel that little jump in your heart. You feel that little impression upon your heart. You know, it might be that the Holy Spirit's trying to get to you. It might be that sometimes you got to go ahead and fall on your face before Almighty God and say, okay, God, whatever it is, whatever you want, here it is. We ought not be quenching, but see, what we do is we throw water on the Holy Spirit, tries to work on you, maybe in this area of the King James Bible, this area about serving Him or whatever the case may be, and you go ahead and throw water. No, God, I'm not going to go ahead and do that. I'm not going to go ahead and do that. I'm not going to go ahead and do that. But you know what? We'll get back onto this. We need an every word Bible. We need a Bible that is full of truth, because God's word is truth, the need for truth. John 17:17, Jesus is praying a prayer of intercession there. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what? If his word wasn't truth, he wouldn't put it there. But thy word is truth. Truth comes from the living word of God. We got saved by hearing the truth. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from what? By the what? Word of God. Again, we had to hear the truth of God by the very words of God. You do not hear the whole truth when other versions water down the key essential doctrines of the Word of God. I'm talking about, you know, it ought to concern us when the blood of Christ is watered down. It ought to concern us when the deity of Christ is watered down. That ought to bother us. It's no wonder that the master scorner, talking about scorners tonight, uses these other versions to try to divert us from the truth. He cannot stand Jesus. If you recall Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. Remember, he'll ascend above the heavens. How humble he was, huh? God humbled him real quick. And ever since that day till now, you know what? He'll do everything he can to try to destroy God's plan. He'll do it through the words of God, the so-called other words of God, whatever you want to call it. You know what? We have the Word of God, but he'll do it through that. He'll do it by getting the contemporary Christian, no whatever kind of music in the church. He'll do it any way that he can. It's no wonder that he can't stand Jesus. Jesus said to sanctify them through thy truth. The truth of the Word of God is what has set me free. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here we find Jesus is the truth. John 8:31-32, because of time, you can go ahead and jot these down and look at it later, but you ought to go ahead and match these scriptures up. But verse number 32 is, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. See, the scorner doesn't want you to know the truth. You know what freed me from the bonds of sin is the truth of the Word of God. Someone had to go ahead and show me and come to my pitiful soul when I was saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. But some soul winner who loved me and loved my soul took the words of God and showed me the truth of the Word of God. And tonight I'm set free. Amen. We need an every word Bible. Okay, what was the devil trying to do in the Garden of Eden? I'm going to close with this. He changed the truth of God into a lie to Eve, therefore causing them to think twice about the will of God. And God's plan was not for them to go ahead and live outside the garden, but the old devil kind of just snuck his way in and changed that whole will of God for their life. He caused them to think twice about the Word of God. Look at the results. They were cast out of the garden. And now they're living with thorns and thistles and heartache. He's after not just teenagers, a devil boy teenager. He's after you tonight. He's after your purity. He's after you. He doesn't want, you know what? He's not happy that young people are in church tonight. He's not happy that we're in church tonight. He's after baby Christians. He wants to divert you from the truth. And the surest way he does it is through the changing of the Word of God. Let the devil, you know, I just decided, let the devil and his crowd scorn. Let the other churches who want to be watered down and all that stuff, who have no results, let them go ahead and scorn. But you know what? As for me and our house of God, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're just going to go ahead and hold up the Word of God. Let them go ahead and scorn, but as promised, God himself, by God himself, God's word will outlast the devil and his crowd. You know, these verses, and I'll close. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Think about it. The devil can scorn all he wants. The so-called preachers out there who change their ways and everything, and it's so much better, and they get a little more comfortable and so forth, and, you know, get their little glass pulpits up there, and no offense, you don't want to be offensive, you know, whatever the case may be. But you let them go ahead and scorn at us and our stand. But you know what? Guess who gets the last word? The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purifies seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. You know, God promised us in every word Bible, and it's forever settled in heaven, and it's right here. It's a forever book. Let the scorner scorn, but the scorner is one that's been hurt by truth, who denies the truth, therefore has no joy. There might be some here tonight, you know, you can't even smile. You know what? But later on, you go home, put on your Comedy Central, and you'll smile then. You'll go ahead and put on the dirty new sitcoms or whatever that's out there tonight, you smile at that. Boy, it's hard. Boy, it's sad that you can't have the joy and peace that God wants you to have. It amazes me. You know, we ought to be the happiest people around. You know, if you're saved tonight, tell your face about it. Amen? Amen. It's okay. You know, you say, well, preacher, this is a little rushed. This is Wednesday night. I know it's Wednesday night. According to my calendar, yours, it's Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We ought to be the happiest people here. You know, when I came, my biggest concern was school. I was. When I came, and I knew, and I'm going to close with this. I knew that this was God's will from the very day I got that letter that Brother Joe, thank you, Brother Joe, sent in the mail. I knew it was. But I was concerned about school. We had a good school. I worked in a good church, had a good school that taught and preached the King James Bible. My kids were memorizing the King James Bible. And I knew one thing, that my kids were going to go ahead and continue to learn truth. That's thy word is truth, the word of God. Wasn't going to go ahead and just be satisfied with whatever. Just wasn't going to be satisfied with the status quo. Well, whatever's out there that has a good, I wasn't going to do that. And the truth of the matter is we need to, you know what, I just decided, you know what, why would I want to go ahead and teach my kids the words of God at home and send them elsewhere, whether it be public school where there is no truth or other schools that don't even promote the truth? Why would I want to confuse them when my God's not the author of confusion? Amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know what, we need to be very careful. We need to be prudent with our kids. You know what, and because I love your kids, let me just say this, as your pastor, I love you and I love your kids. You know, that's why I'm not changing. That's why I'm not changing. I want your kids to be able to come to Sunday school and we have memory verse time up here Sunday morning. I want them to learn the truth of the Word of God. And we've got to be very careful, because the Word of God, let me tell you something, I hold the only perfect thing that's known to man on this side of heaven. This pulpit's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But you know, I hold the very perfect words of God. And let me tell you something, your preacher has confidence in that tonight. I mean, I read this Bible today, and boy, it just, you know, I knew, boy, it just burned in my soul, because it's alive. It's the Word of God. Now, Heavenly Father, I'm sure to love you. Lord, we're just teaching. We're teaching just as time allows, Wednesday after Wednesday, on teaching our young people. And God, may we be prudent parents, prudent leaders, in teaching our young people the words of God. Oh, the devil wants every shot at our kids. And I pray that we just won't water things down and just be, allow the status quo in our life as far as our kids. As preacher of Faith Baptist Church, may I never waver, and I won't waver, God, on this issue of the King James Bible, this issue of standards, and just staying true to you. Because God, as I remember so very plainly as I drove down that Dan Ryan one day, said, all I want to do is please you. All I want to do is serve you and do right by you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know what the Holy Spirit laid on your heart tonight. Very simple message on the scorner, the master scorner. We're going to pick it up again here in a couple weeks here, but the master scorner is the devil. Maybe he's playing around with you. Maybe he's playing around with your